Hi. Greetings, everybody, brothers and sisters, to everyone in Zoom land, and to those of you gathered here in this beautiful edifice. My warm greetings this morning. I had good thoughts of y'all yesterday. I attended the 90th birthday celebration for a friend, Brenetta Howell Barrett. She's a great community activist, a crusader for all sorts of social justice, civil rights, political fairness, the elderly, the young, LGBTQ, a longtime Unitarian, a member of Third U. Brenetta yesterday hugged me warmly and said, "Monica, you're at First U." She proudly introduced me to her friends, who smiled and also hugged me. I recalled something told to my much younger, vaguely unsatisfied self. This friend said, "Look." The friend said, "Happiness boils down to how you think, your outlook on life. Remember these three things. You need someone to love, something to believe in, and some meaningful work to do. First U gives me meaningful work and some serious cred with someone who means a whole lot to me. So thank you, First U. I want to say that sometimes up here, I lift my eyes from the paper and look around, and I wonder what's going on behind those polite, pleasant faces. And a lot of these faces are becoming more and more familiar to me, but I still don't know what you're thinking. My mind goes to Zoom land, and I picture the screen with faces. And again, I wonder, what are they thinking? Now, coming from the culture of the Black church, with the fabled call and response tradition, this is kind of different for me. Even in all but the most staid of Black churches, when the preacher starts, you hear, "Well, well." After a while, somebody says, "Come on now." That lets you know they're working with you. When you hear "preach," say that, you know you've hit the sweet spot and it's all over but the shouting. Amen, amen. Now I've had an outlier experience or two. In Johannesburg in the aftermath of 9/11, I had organized an ecumenical memorial service hosted at my neighborhood Anglican church, the vaulted Church of England in Johannesburg. While not official, it was quite an event. The American Chamber of Commerce showed up with American flags. The Islamic Business Association showed up with floral displays. The lots of foreign embassy representatives came, and the US Consul General ended up having to do an impromptu receiving line. Then the elderly bishop arrived. He read from the Book of Common Prayer and settled on his throne in the chancel. During the many lengthy expressions of condolence and support for the American people, the good bishop fell asleep and gently snored. The CEO of an American equity fund group delivered the eulogy. He started out speaking as an investment banker, but he soon slipped back to the Black church preacher roots. He had built up to a fiery soulful crescendo when the bishop leaped suddenly from his throne and yelled, "Preach, brother, preach." The preacher looked around. He knew he had hit the sweet spot. There was nothing left but to close the sermon, sit down, The bishop stood up and said, amen, amen. It was the highlight of the occasion. This sermon started out simply enough with a small book entitled As a Man Thinketh by James Allen, a self-styled philosopher and early self-help pioneer. Early on, I had begun thinking about the proverb, as a man thinketh, so is he. And René Descartes' famous assertion, I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I exist. So I initially announced a sermon title of I Think. Adam and Liz said, cool, but what are we thinking about? Well, iron does sharpen iron, and thoughtful people will make you think. I spend time prepping for Sunday mornings, studying you precepts and conferring with UU worship resources, reading topical background material, but mostly thinking about the message. I recall themes of last week's message, the litany of woes facing our democracy and our need for change, and the responsibilities of every citizen. I thought about that, and I thought about how impressed I am by the UUA's determination to address these serious issues, to encourage and inspire change at every level. And I wondered, what insightful message could I offer to thoughtful, engaged people? The words of Albert Einstein came to mind. The world as we have created it is the process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. We cannot solve our problems with the same level of thinking that created them. So upon deeper reflection, I realized that what I really wanted to explore is the power and value of thought in the context of living better lives individually and collectively. To examine the imperative of change and the implications for our thinking today. How do we lift our thinking as to enable positive, desirable change, change in our personal circumstances, our communities, our very democracy? It's a tall order. Have you ever noticed when you focus thought on a particular thing, an idea, a certain item or interest, suddenly an abundance of ideas and information bubbles into your awareness? I experienced that phenomenon last week. Fishing on the World Wide Web, I caught several big ones. I ran across a blog entitled, The Power of Thought, More Powerful Than We Thought, written by a renowned spiritualist and scientist. Ah, confirmation. I'm on the right track. Not to diminish James Allen, but so much good stuff bubbled up. The more I read, the more I thought, it became increasingly apparent that no way could I cover this in one sermon. So I propose to you to present part one, I Think, and lay the foundational framework for part two, next week's message, The Power and Value of Thought. I think. What is thought and thinking? How and why is thought powerful and of value? Today, we'll look at the what of thought and take up the how and why next Sunday in part two. I think it's useful to review exactly what is thinking and thought. After wading unproductively through the literature, I found it too dense and too comprehensive for today's purpose. So I turned to Wikipedia for the cliff notes. Thought, the act of thinking, can be described as the mental process by which we form associations and models, the mental manipulation of information whereby we form concepts, reason, engage in problem solving and decision making. The act of thinking produces more thought. This activity takes place in the brain, the physical structure associated with the mind. The mind being the abstract entity housing the cognitive faculties of consciousness, perception, thinking, judgment, memory. Thinking is an activity of intelligence. The intellectual process is marked by cognition, motivation, and self-awareness. Intelligence undergirds and makes possible the cognitive abilities to learn, to form concepts, understand, apply logic, and reason. It gives us the capacities to recognize patterns, to comprehend ideas, to plan, problem solve, make decisions, retain, use language to communicate. Intelligence enables us to experience and to think. A question popped in my mind. Isn't the power and value of thought linked in some measure to the quality of thought? Surely we've all had occasion to marvel at faulty thinking. Have you ever noticed that if someone says things that you think are utterly ridiculous, you kind of figure that they're some kind of moron? But let them say things that capture your thought. Then you're like, that person's brilliant. You want to talk to them more and more. What are the mechanics of good quality thinking? Ruminating on this, I roamed the internet and ran across Nest Labs, self-described as a place to think about thinking and learn about learning. Intrigued, I looked at a sample newsletter touted as the science-based newsletter to make the most of your mind, and I found an article, How to Think Better. Eureka! The author offers 5 principles, but I'll focus on the first. Think about thinking. Metacognition is the process of awareness and analysis of your thinking, of your own thinking, of intentional reflection on how you think, how you learn, and the effort to self-correct. Know thyself is an if an unexamined life is not worth living. Unexamined thinking is futile. Lifelong learning means metacognition doesn't end when you graduate. It's honed as a life skill. I worked at a research lab once, and I had a partner, and I was in charge of development. And because I was getting the money, that meant I had a great deal to say about what we researched. And so I had lots of friends at the lab. But I also had a partner, and we were really in sync. And we had this process. When we began a new project or to work on a new proposal, we would read through separately the RFP. Then on a Saturday, we would get together, since the lab was empty. We sit in the meeting room and carefully place a packet of Marlboros and a Starbucks in front of us. We had some cockamamie notion about neurons and synapses. So we carefully, now this not, it's Marlboros, not wacky tobacco. We carefully light up a cigarette, we drink deeply, and then we sit and say, now let's think. And we had the kind of partnership where he could start, I could finish, I could start, he could finish. But we had this thinking that bounced off one another. And the result was we got 23 winning contracts back to back, contracts of research projects funded. I often think about those days because they were good days. There were days that I felt my brain was really on fire. Allen's book, As a Man Thinketh, was first published in 1903 and repeatedly reprinted, although I had never heard of it. It was introduced to me by a friend. Hey, thinking person's preacher, you should read this, she shared. After moving here, Johannesburg, she said, I woke up one morning thinking, life is good. I'm really happy here. She said, but minutes later, I found myself thinking, my life sucks. I stopped. She said, wait a minute, what changed? How could life be great one minute and awful the next? What had changed? I realized it was all in my mind. The only thing that had changed was my thinking. I decided there and then to control my mind and pay attention to my thoughts. Allen's book is prefaced with a poem, which will serve as my close. Mind is the master power that molds and makes, and humankind is mind. Evermore we take the tool of thought and shaping what we will, bring forth 1,000 joys, 1,000 ills. We think in secret and it comes to pass. Environment is but our looking glass. I hope you will reflect on these things this week, and I invite you, share your thoughts with me. And now I'm really gonna close with this. My grandmother used to say, and this is the mother of Andrew Greenlee that some of you may know. His mom, my grandmother, used to say, you need to use your head for something other than a hat rack. And then she said, but never take off your thinking cap. Keep it on your head always. And I hope I've given you some material, some food for thought. In the UU tradition, it's not just ministers and religious professionals who have the power to bless. Each of us has the power to bless one another and to bless the world. As we have been blessed, so we bless one another to be a blessing. As we breathe, we share this breath with all that breathe. Feel the love of the universe flowing through this community, into you and out into the universe again. Take up what power is yours to create safe haven, to make of earth a heaven. Give hope to those you encounter. Be happy and at peace, healthy and strong, caring and joyful. Be the blessing you already are. That is enough. Blessed be. Amen.